Hugh gets his signature win at Auburn. SEC officiating is absolutely terrible. And let's give some love. Let's show some love to our boy Keyron Crawford.
In the world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the bug, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened, because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off. And you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Five.
Yes, sir. We're back. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Rush, a.k.a. Charlie Five, and we're ready to get after. I've been waiting for this all day long, live with C5 after a win. Man, it just hits different. Hits different after a win. We had the reaction show this morning, and it was more so just the pure emotion of everything. We're going to dive a little bit into more details tonight and have some fun. Be thinking about who's your player of the game. Be thinking about what's your play of the game. We're going to hit that in just a little bit. I'm going to open it up to you guys. And then if you got any recruiting questions, things like that, definitely get those in the chat. I'm going to go through my spiel. I'm going to go through my little thing, and then we're going to get in the chat and have some fun. So before we get started, you got to give a shout out to mybookie.ag. Use coupon code NEXTROUND for a 300% bonus in the casino off your deposit. So give them $100. They're going to give you back, I guess, $300 on top of it to play with in the casino. So, hey, just win half of the bets in the casino, and you get that's $150 guaranteed, basically. Then you can take it and go play in the sports book, all kinds of betting that you can ever imagine, and have some fun doing so. So check them out, mybookie.ag. My man Hugh finally gets his signature win at Auburn. It seemed like multiple times he's had opportunities and we've snatched defeat from the jaws of victory. I mean, you go look at the first Iron Bowl, the fourth and goal from the 31, the Georgia game where you had opportunities to close that one out, and then multiple times this year, Missouri. You had Oklahoma. Four or five games total that you've had the lead in the fourth quarter and you've blown it. Not all four times, but you had the lead in the fourth quarter. Maybe it was six times and you're 4-2. It was something like that. It was something crazy where Auburn had been had the lead in the fourth quarter quite a bit and just has not been able to get it done. And finally they're able to get it done in exciting fashion. And this is a good signature win for Hugh at Auburn that he really, really needed to show that he could do it against a ranked team. A team with a winning record. Don't believe he'd had a win against a team with a winning record so far. So it was big all the way around. I don't want to take anything away from it, because it was a massive win. Meant a lot to the guys, meant a lot to the fans, meant a lot to everybody. Saw some videos of some folks leaving after that last touchdown to put them ahead. How are those people feeling today? I wonder. I don't blame them. I don't blame them for leaving. My faith was dwindling when they scored that last touchdown, but saw some videos of people leaving just because you're so conditioned to it, especially this year, of finding ways to lose games. You thought that was it. You were waiting for the, there it is. You're waiting for the, I knew it was coming. And I think a lot of people thought that was it. I think a lot of people thought that touchdown was it. I know I kind of did, unfortunately. I was going to hang in there and I was going to pull them through if I could, but I lost a lot of faith there as well. So I hate it for those folks, because they missed a pretty incredible game, and maybe they learned their lesson and they'll sit their butt in the stands until the clock hits zero from now on. But yeah, it was just, couple that in, just unbelievable, unbelievable game, big win. Finally, that you get that signature win for Hugh. I'm moving pretty quick through this because I want to get in the chat, because I already see some good stuff that I want to talk about in the chat. SEC officiating is garbage. It is absolute trash. And it's not just against Auburn. Alabama had one of the worst calls. Now, obviously, I'm going to have fun that they got blown out 24-3 by Oklahoma, who can't score, and they scored 24 points and shut them down. But you had the is he covered up? Is he not covered up? He's clearly not covered up. Not covered up touchdown pass that's just wiped away. And who knows how the game changes? And who knows how the game changes in that scenario? It's just you got that, and then two of the most egregious. One was a non-call, and then one was a offensive pass interference. That's two of the most egregious back-to-back. If you want to go against the conspiracy, if you want to prove that there's no conspiracy, that conferences, especially the SEC, that try to protect their, I guess, their matchup, their most likely good matchups, most likely good playoff teams, things like that. If you want to go against that narrative, they did themselves no favors at the end of this game. The first play was a hold at worst and pass interference at best on Keandre Lambert-Smith. I mean, they show the replay, and the dude's got his hand down the back of his pads. And so if the ball's not catchable, it's still holding. Like there's no doubt he impeded Keandre Lambert-Smith, because it was going to be he had a monster game. It was going to be a touchdown. He probably was just trying to say, honestly, probably thought, I'll take the flag so that I don't give up a touchdown. Just drug him down. I mean, almost drug him all the way to the ground. It was just awful. And then the worst call I've ever seen, I think. I think it's the worst blown call I've ever seen in a game, and it's the offensive pass interference. You run a really good play, and you hit Keandre Lambert-Smith, and he gets all the way down to the two. All the way down to the 2 yard line, and they call offensive pass interference. They called Rivaldo Fairweather for a pick, and they showed it. And Lewis Riddick, who, by the way, I love Lewis Riddick, unbelievable color guy, color commentator. I hope that he does. I would love for him to do every single one of our games. He is insightful. He sees things, and he just straight up said, "That's awful. That's the worst call I've ever seen." I mean, there was no contact whatsoever. But SEC officiating, they've got to do something. I don't know what the answer is. Everybody always says that you should hire them full time and just have them train and test and things all off season, sort of just being on top of things. They got to do something, because it's bad all across the league. I used to think Alabama fans typically point this out to me the most. I used to think it was just like Alabama fans think everybody's out to get them. But the more and more I see, God, it's terrible. It's terrible. It's awful. It's pathetic. I mean, that could have been – I mean, think about that. That could have been the whole game right there. A blown call could have actually affected the outcome of the game, but you had Ian Vachon with ice water running through his veins, kicking one from 40-plus. What a sequence of events that was. But regardless, SEC officiating is terrible. I'm going to go ahead and get a super chat in, because it just came in. Daryl Dapprich fan. This dude, I love this guy. This guy is the bomb. He's in every one of these videos now. Bit active in all of our stuff. I'm a big fan of Daryl Dapprich fan. How about that? And I'm a big fan of Daryl Dapprich. So it's like everybody wins. Was this Peyton Thorne's legacy game? I'm a regular now. Yes, you are, buddy. It has to be. It has to be. I mean, this if he could do really well in if he did really well in the Iron Bowl, I mean, that would just cement it even further. But he's so polarizing. He's been so polarizing. It's like people can't be in the middle on him. It's either you either just are okay with him or you hate him, or you got to pull him. But he did a lot, man. Look, he's limited. There's no doubt about it. Like, there's some things about his game that doesn't have the top arm strength. He makes bad decisions. His clock moves too fast sometimes. It happens, But that dude plays so hard. He plays so dadgum hard, like running when he's injured, getting hit in the face, big fourth down runs to convert. I mean, sneaky good runner. His running ability has been very underrated. I think it helped him big time. Helped him big time as far as the way the fans feel about him winning this game for sure. So, and he had a bunch of good quotes too. But I want y'all to hear Hugh had a hilarious line when talking about officiating. I want you guys to hear it. So here he goes. He was asked, "What'd you think about those calls?"
"I don't know if I've ever wanted to fight so bad. I really wanted to fight at that moment. I don't know. I'll have to watch it. It looked like on the screen that there was no contact really on the pick call, but I'll have to see it on film to be 100% sure. But it sure didn't feel good. I was livid, not very happy, and just that was a thought. Both could have been called. One could have been called, you know, against. Maybe they thought the ball was a little uncatchable, but it was hard to really tell when I thought he was getting his jersey held. And then I don't know where Dre got to on that play. He was down inside the five at least, or maybe closer, which would have given us a first and goal at the two. So those were, you know, it's a tough call for sure. And thankfully our kids had great composure because I kind of didn't there for a minute and kept playing."
That's my favorite part. "I'm glad our kids had composure because I didn't there for a minute in the beginning. I've never wanted to fight so bad in my life. I thought that was – I was ready to fight. I was trying not to wake everybody up in the house. It was a tough sequence. And luckily you make the field goal and then you get to the dumbest portion of overtime that the world has ever seen. The two-point plays are – just off. Like, that's the dumbest format you could ever have. I would much rather it be sort of like an NFL style sudden death, where if they score, you get a chance to match it, and then it's just like next one to score wins. Instead of, I can see where the back and forth, you can just rack up the plays and a lot more exposure to injuries and things like that. But the two-point conversion off, that's not even football. Like, how does that make sense as far as determining a winner who has the best trick play on a 2-point play? That's all you can say. It's crazy. But yeah, that was the officiating was tough. So then the last thing I want to talk about, then I'm going to open up to you guys. Keyron Crawford appreciation. The dude played outrageous. The number one graded pass rusher on the team. He was everywhere. And there were times where he didn't get credit for things, but he caused the tackle for loss by flushing the quarterback. He was just back there every single play. And the guys, he gets to come back next year. Let's hear a few things that he had to say. This one will get you fired up, and then he talks about playing next year.
"We knew he was a running quarterback, so majority of our plan was to contain the quarterback. But, like, sometimes you got to let the dog loose, and you just have to go hunt."
Sometimes you got to let the dog loose, and you got to go hunt. He was definitely loose, and he was hunting all night. I think he had four tackles solo. But, like, he flushed a sack into DeMarcus Riddick, his sack, almost 100% because of Keyron Crawford. Ran him right into DeMarcus Riddick. Just unbelievable. Jalen McLeod, all the edges had incredible games. Jalen McLeod was literally all over the place. I think he had 10 tackles, 8 solo, maybe a sack too. I'm not 1,000% sure there. But Keyron really leans on Jalen and has really learned a lot from him. And a lot of times that can be bad blood when somebody's playing in front of you. Especially if you think about it, both of these guys are transfers. So it's not like they came in high school class together and they've had time to build rapport. It's like, no, I get here and I'm behind this guy who's not from here either. So But he obviously appreciates Jalen, and he wants to be – he's learned a lot from him. But he said, hey, I love Jalen, and he's the guy I model myself after, but I also want to be better than him.
He's a remarkable player. I look up to J-Mac. He's one of my leaders on the team, and I want to follow his footsteps next year, but also be better than him next year.
Hey, would you take it right now? Would you take a better Jalen Crawford out of Keyron Crawford next year? I would. The biggest thing is portal edges are big money, especially the elite ones. It's big money. You don't got to have one now. You don't have to go get one. And that is massive for the whole rest of the needs that you got to get in the portal. Because there's a bunch, there's still some holes that got to be filled. Edge probably in one of them. You got some young studs. You got Keyron coming back, going to be the elder statesman of the group. And then obviously you got DeMarcus Riddick, who played a ton. And he had a big game, obviously, with another sack. He just continues to make plays. Boy, those edges. I don't know that we'll ever, because the way we're recruiting we are. But, man, that's a good trio right there. They play tough. Got another super chat, and then we're going to open it up. I want y'all to be thinking about it. I already said it earlier. I'm going to go over my player of the game, and I want to go over the play of the game, and I want to hear yours too. And I saw one. I want to make sure we mentioned it. I'll be thinking about the play of the game and the player of the game. Here's the super chat first. James Stallings. I've said this on different shows. DeMarcus Riddick is a star, and I'm glad he plays for my team. He could become the best linebacker in Auburn history. He's got a great start at it. I mean, I think he's got 3 or 4 sacks already this year. I don't know. I'm so curious to see where he plays the rest of his career. Hugh said that he's playing that outside linebacker in a base 4-3 alignment. Okay, so A&M would get us in nickel a lot. So that took him off the field because you only have 2 linebackers. So he's playing linebacker, but it's really like a 4-3 outside linebacker, sort of like a contain guy. Is that what he's going to be the rest of his career? I mean, he could be really electric in it, but hey, if different formations pull him off the field, that's not ideal. So I assume he's obviously going to get better. He's going to have more that he's going to be able to digest and learn, be able to play multiple positions in multiple formations. So that's going to be something to watch. I'm so curious to see how it plays out. But yeah, I'm with you. He's going to be fun to watch, and he has a chance to be great. Got another super chat coming in. As soon as the question pops in, I'll definitely read it. But holy cow, it's a big one, and we don't even feel like I deserve it, Lee. But appreciate you. Get that question in, and I'll definitely make sure to read it. So, play of the game. I want to hear your play of the game. This is my play of the game. Okay. My play of the game is Texas A&M had tied the game. Okay. Auburn had punted. This was in the third quarter. Auburn had punted, and then they missed a field goal. Texas A&M's got the game tied. They make a stop. They get the ball back, and then you have the rollout pass where Thorne hits Keandre Lambert-Smith. And as good as the catches we've talked about over the last couple of weeks, the Cam Coleman catch, hell, the last catch of the game where Keandre Lambert-Smith made the catch. I mean, all of his catches are unreal. This one was incredibly insane. I mean, he jumps over the guy. I think Thorne probably – he gave it all he had, but he underthrew it just a little bit. And he kind of jumped over him and pinned the ball on the guy's back until they came down. And then, obviously, he popped off of him. But it's what a dadgum catch. That's my play of the game, because I think you go in and score there. You get Auburn the lead, and then there's some back and forth. But you had a couple of drives there where it could have gone south, and you had Texas A&M grabbing some momentum, and then, boom, he makes the big play, and Auburn scores. So that's my play of the game. And then my player of the game is Peyton Thorne. I mean, He I know the receivers bailed him out a lot, but he controlled the offense. He did what he had to do, and he made, you know, the big fourth down, fourth and two scramble. There was another scramble where he got hit in the face, and jumped up and pointed. It's the stash, man. He comes out with a handlebar mustache, smoking cigars, and all of a sudden he's got swag for days, and he's become clutch all of a sudden. It's crazy. Peyton's, that was it. Peyton's 23-yard scramble on fourth down in the fourth quarter. Eric Pearson. I just talked about it. That's his play of the game. I totally get it. That's definitely one of the. I mean, had to have it on the game tying drive. So, Lee, I want to try to find your question, man. Is this it right here? Is this it, Lee? Just tell me yes or no. Let me know if this is it. His play of the game was rakes on second down for a multitude of reasons. I speak GIF. This is I speak GIF off of the barn, I think. That was a big game for him. He played good. He had a tackle for loss where he blew up a play that we had to have. He had a good game and doing it against Texas A&M, I know it was big. I know he went and found, I know that he wasn't his coach, but he went and found, God, what's his name? Elko. He went and found Elko after the game while he was talking to all his former teammates. Good for him, man. He's kind of struggled this year a little bit, and it's good to see him do that. So thanks, Lee. You the man, dog, for sure. I see some more. Game time field goal is Martin's play of the game. Hey, I had no faith in my man Ian Vachon, no faith whatsoever, and he drilled two. He drilled two of them. So it's pretty crazy. War Eagle Y, this is so true too. It's amazing how one win can completely change how I feel about the season. Still only at 5 wins, but I don't feel like I want to swerve into oncoming traffic every day. Here's my thing about it, why Wyoming. Look, in my mind, I can't really explain it. It's just like an eye test. Okay. I see it and I feel like we're not far off. You know what I mean? Like you watch us play and you feel like you're just, we're just right here, right there. It's all eye test. Like you can't really put pen to paper. Yeah. We've had, this is a more yards per game, more explosive plays, things like that. But you still make dumb mistakes. You feel like you're close, but you can't really put a pin on it, like exactly what it is. And then you have this game where they do a lot of the similar things that they've done in previous games, but they're able to get the win. And it sort of convinces me. It sort of is, is validating to feel like, hey, I see it. It feels like we're not far off, and they actually don't seem like they're that far off. You just had bad coaching decisions, miscommunications, maybe not letting the pressure get to you a little bit, not really being used to winning again, and not being able to pull it out. But now you did it. It just feels good because you're just, again, you don't feel like you're that far off, but you just haven't been able to win. So now that you win, you're like, man, I think we're closer than I actually think. So I agree with you 1,000%. And the pieces are in play, falling into place. You're on pace. I think it's going to come down to this as far as recruiting goes. I think Auburn's it's going to be Auburn and Georgia for the number one recruiting class, and it's all going to come down to Justice Terry. Whichever school he decides to go to, that team will be the number one recruiting class. Can you believe that? And it's 100%. That is not pie in the sky. That is not booging. I mean, we're booging, but it's not booging, like booging, recklessly booging. It's just legitimate. I think they're going to flip Usman Chroma. I think they're going to flip Naeem Offord. They've made a move with Justice Terry. I think it's still a long shot, but if somehow between now and two Wednesdays from now, if they can make it happen, no matter what it is, NIL, anything, if they can get those three guys, that's the number one class. The number one that and at 5 and 6 going into the Iron Bowl, you got a real good chance of finishing with the number one class. So it's crazy. It's crazy. This is a good point too. Let's see. Yeah. Steven Giles, the chatter is that Alford will probably commit to AU now, according to Deuce and others. Yeah, the article came out. He's going to have an announcement on signing day. What do you have an announcement for if you're already committed? Someone explain that to me. What are you announcing? You're already committed. What is there to announce, my man? And so obviously there's going to be a flip. And I said it a couple of shows ago that I felt like Ohio State was out of it. And it was pretty much Auburn and Oregon. And I just don't see him going to Oregon. I don't see him going all the way out there. I think he'll stay home. So you got a really good chance. He was blown away by the game, and he doesn't typically say a lot. He was blown away. So that's big. That's big. So yes, I totally agree. NH3425, which is also one of our regulars. Justice does not look like an 18-year-old. He looks like a 30-year-old. He is put together. Justice Terry is a program. He's a Derrick Brown program changing type kid. He's that good. And put him with this defensive line class, and geez, man, you have a squadron of beef. That is a squadron of pain coming at you next year and beyond. SEC and everybody else we play. So that's the key to me. That's the key between the number one class and the number two class is, can you get Justice Terry? I'll be so fired up with number two. Who cares? But that's just another, you know, cherry on top. But I think that's what it's going to come down to. So, Brett, me too, man. I want Usman real bad. I think we're going to get him. He's a franchise running back. I think that Georgia kind of took him for granted. Now, again, it's not official. He hasn't flipped yet. Things could always change. Georgia could call him and make him, you know, feel a certain way. They could have done it today, could do it tomorrow. But I think that they took him a little bit for granted, and I would be shocked at this point in time if he's not a Tiger. Let's see. Let's keep going on here. There was one. I want to find it. It was talking about Jarquez when he lost his shoe. Y'all remember that? This was in regulation, okay? And we had gotten down there, and he had a pretty good run, and he got a flat tire. You know what I'm talking about? We're like the heels hanging out, and I'm like, oh, my God, he's going to lose his shoe, and they're about to go right back to him. And they did, and he's running, and he's coming out of his shoe at the same time. And I think if he doesn't have his shoe, I think if the shoe's off, like from the beginning, or if he doesn't lose his shoe, I think he ends it in regulation right there. I agree. I can't find it, man. I cannot find the question, but I totally agree. I think that if his shoe doesn't have a flat tire, I think he gets in and we end it in regulation. He was a monster. I mean, 28 carries and they were tough yards. Early in the game, they were ripping they were getting big chunks, and then they kind of buckled down, and golly, that defensive front is just good. There was a time, look, we were running tempo and on third and short, and when we're moving the ball, we're running tempo and we're just gashing them. And I think this was maybe in the second half. We got a couple of plays, got a first down, and we get a third and one, and we get up there and we're gonna run tempo and we're gonna smash them inside real quick. And they hit him so hard, so fast, it just completely shut it down, completely shut that play down. They're really good. They're a really good defensive front. I don't care what anybody says. They can play. And those dudes are going to be playing on Sundays. And they were really good. So let's keep going through. Lee Gray was he wearing Under Armour shoes? Hey, he only one of them. He wasn't wearing the other one. It came off. If that was Nike shoes, he scores. Let's just go ahead and say it. I know we're all thinking it. If it's Nike shoes, they don't come off and he scores. And here's another thing. Jarquez Hunter has massive feet for a guy that's not very tall. He's got some boats, and they are so maybe that's some of it. Because it does seem like a lot of times he trips, like he's got one, like he's going to break one, and then they get him by a shoestring because his damn feet are so big. But, yeah, his shoe blew out, and if it was Nike, it would not have happened. So that's what I'm saying. I'm sticking to it. That's what I believe, and I'm sticking to it. That's my truth. Justin Daly, great question. C5, players group of the game, the O-line question, they stepped up big time. I said it in the reaction show. I could not be more proud of how that offensive line played. They were blowing them off the ball early. They did make some adjustments and made it tougher, but they protected Peyton. I think he was only sacked twice. They gave him ample time to be able to distribute. They played so good. Braden Joyner, what a daggum story. Unreal. The only time you had any issues is when Jeremiah Wright got injured and you had to bring in Percy on the fly, kind of. And I think he was in there for two snaps, and one of them was a false start. One of them was a false start. Bless his heart, he just did not have a he struggled all year. I don't know what, if it's communication, the system, what it is. He struggled. So, but I would say, yeah, I would say those guys have to be up there. Maybe wide receivers, even though it was only two of them. All of those guys made some plays. Robert Lewis had a catch. All those guys made plays. Cam just has emerged as the guy that we thought he would be. He's finally healthy, and he is looking really good. So I would say, but I would definitely say offensive line. I agree. Let's see. Let's keep going. I saw something. Yeah, Turf Monster. The Turf Monster was hungry last night. I don't know what was going on, but, you know, it rained a lot early this week. It rained a ton. Early this week, I think, if I remember correctly. And I'm wondering if the field was just really, really saturated. And it couldn't get it dry. Typically, the field drains really good. Malcolm slipped a few times. Jarquez slipped a few times. It did seem like it was, especially if you're going east-west, it did seem like it was the Turf Monster was out. And the Turf Monster got Jarquez a shoe too, dadgummit. That dang Turf Monster. He'll get you if you're not watching. Let's see. Let's keep going. Chase Smith, do you think if we win the Iron Bowl, do you think it will flip a lot of recruits our way? Chase, man, there's not a ton of spots left. So, like, I don't see this giant wave of like 5-6 commits. I really only think you got about 3 or 4 more spots. And I know two of them, you know, are going to be Usman Khroma, Naeem Offord. And then you're going to save room for Justice Terry. And you got Darian Smith that you want to get in. They just offered Jace Matthews, a wide receiver from Mississippi, who's had like 1,500 all purpose yards this year. He's not on Deuce's team, but he's in that region or something like that, and they're close. Do you make room for him? Like, they're kind of one of those late evals. There's not a ton of, you know, I don't see us like flipping, you know, Caleb Cunningham's with Ole Miss now. So I don't see us like flipping any Alabama commits if you win it. I think the biggest thing it may do is, even though I think you're already solidified with guys that you're worried about, like TJ, like Travis Dice and Jared Smith, who I think's locked in now. I don't know if there's a ton of numbers that game will really make that big of a difference for. But it'll be fun to win, though. I'll take it. It'll be fun to win. If you got to be negative, there's one little thing we can be negative about, and that's third down conversions on defense. We've struggled all year. I don't like to argue. I'd rather discuss like IQ decisions. Like, should you call a timeout here? I'll criticize stuff like that. Should you have called a timeout here? Should you have done this? Should you have done that? Should you have kicked the field goal versus gone for it? Should you, you know, stuff like that. I don't typically get in the scheme stuff, okay? Because I don't know what the heck I'm talking about. Let's just be honest. Yeah, I'm not going to win a football spelling bee. You know what I mean? But this Russian three stuff, I get it. I understand the philosophy behind it. But especially when it's a mobile quarterback that can extend plays within the pocket, not just break it outside and run. Like, you can contain fairly well with rushing three, but man, it just seems like we give up so many big, long third down conversions when that happens. So it's just I think you got to get after them. You got some guys that can rush the passer. Let's get after them. So I don't know. That's just my take. Brett M, somebody's asked us a couple of times, what about the number one JUCO running back? We offered him. I think he's from Hutchinson, Kansas, maybe, community college. Really good running back. But you're going to have Cobb, Alston. Will both of those guys return? Kind of feels like you got a good shot at that. But then also they could be looking at, hey, I want to be the feature back. You know, and I've been splitting carries for all these years. I feel like they should come back, but they might be hard to keep both of them. So if you lose one of those guys, all you're going to have is whoever's left. You're going to have hopefully Usman Khroma and Alvin Henderson, and that's it. They're going to bring in another running back. I just don't know if it's going to be the JUCO guy. They're probably keeping tabs on him to see, but I think they got something brewing in the portal. I'm not going to dive into it too much because I don't want to insinuate tampering. I don't want to insinuate anything. But I think if you think hard enough, if you think hard enough, I think you know which way I may be going. There could be a package deal type thing brewing. We'll just have to see how it happens. But I guess if that doesn't work out, maybe you see this guy pop up. So, but yeah, good call. We definitely offered him. I just don't know exactly how legit he is right now, if it's sort of just like an offer now, wait and see how this thing goes over the next couple of weeks, and then if you want to push, you can push and maybe get him in sight unseen. But yeah, definitely. Let's see, let's keep going. There's some good stuff in here. Y'all are killing it tonight. Killing it with the content. Let's see. The Freeze Defenders registered trademark are assembling after last night, by the way. That's a throwback to a couple of weeks ago. I banned that guy. I don't even remember what his name was. He just loved to call me a Freeze Defender. And then people started making jokes about it. That sounds like a flag football team. That sounds awesome. So I'm sure the Freeze Defenders are assembling. We've been hanging in there strong, but we're not going anywhere. Let's see. James Stallings, another one. I doubt the running back from Tulane transfers. No comment. I don't want to go there yet. I don't want to be there. There's a certain beat writer that got in trouble a little bit because just came out flat out and said a quarterback that we're talking to that's not even in the dang portal. Like, how smart is that? So I'm not going to go there. So I'm just going to appreciate it, James, but I'm not going to go there. But yeah, he's related to somebody that's pretty important. Let's see here. James Barnett, C5. Why do people think Perry is leaving? Did people not see the photo he took with Deuce and the other players? I think people, you worry about anybody that's highly rated that doesn't get playing time, and others are. And you know, you see the success of Ryan Williams, and they're tight, and he came to Auburn over Alabama, and oh, if I would have gone to Alabama, I could have been doing like Ryan Williams. I don't know. You just worry about stuff like that. So I think that's what people are most concerned with about Perry. Is he feeling left out? By his tweets Saturday night, I'm going to be honest, I even worried about it. But after the tweet Saturday night, I mean, I know it's in the moment and you're emotional. So you're probably thinking, you know, not 100% as clear because, again, you're in the moment. But I mean, they sounded like, hey, we're building for the future, stuff like that. Like we're going to be hell in the future, basically, is what he was saying. I'm being patient, stuff like that. Taking pictures with recruits, talking about taking pictures with Deuce, you know, saying this is the future. We're the future kind of thing. Maybe had some over the last 2 weeks. You see what the wide receivers have done. My gosh, I mean, Keandre Lambert-Smith is going to has a really good shot for 1,000 yards. I think Cam will move over and play that position next year. And then you have Perry playing Cam's position, which is perfect because it's off the ball a little bit and he's struggling a little bit early trying to be able to get off a press and stuff like that. So if he's able to slide in and take Cam's spot, that'd be the dream scenario. That'd be an absolute dream scenario if that could happen. So we'll see what happens there. I think that's why people are a little bit concerned, though, just because he's not getting the playing time that others. Brian G, that O-line stayed in the game four overtimes. Yes, sir, they did. Four overtimes. The whole game and four overtimes. There was a time where they could have cashed it in, folded, but they didn't. And then when they had to have a drive, they pounded that ball and pushed them all the way down the field and scored. It's massive. How about that timeout that Texas A&M called with 16 seconds left? That just kind of blew me away. I was honestly a little bit frustrated because I felt like we were going to have to waste a chance to try to score, and they called a timeout. Now, it didn't necessarily kill them because we didn't score them and kicked the field goal, but that was sort of like a panic move, I feel like. It's kind of crazy. Let's see. Glue Stalwart, ready for that Nike merch. Kali, you don't even know how much I'm ready for it. You have no idea. I have no idea how much I'm ready for it. So I think we're going to take just a couple more and call it a night. This has been so much fun. One of the best ones of the year. After a big win, it's always fun. Always fun. So let's see. Let's get just a couple more. Yes, Jacob, Lott, Peyton better have that stash next weekend. It better be trimmed up, ready to rock and roll. I will put some dye into it, get it nice and dark, nice dark and black and full, and just go out there with the Fu Manchu, the handlebar, and just say, it's my last ride. Let's get after it. And maybe we'll get one more last ride if we can pull this thing out. You got to have this. It's all about the stash. The stash was the key. The stash was big. The stash won it. So love it. Love it. Oh, man, this has been fun. Been a lot of fun. A lot of fun. A lot of fun. Mr. Beautiful, most Bama fans are dreading this Saturday. By the time the game rolls around, I think they're going to be ready. But there's got to be a huge bit of letdown. They're basically eliminated from the playoffs. They got absolutely demolished by a team that can't score. They scored 24 points on them, and they couldn't score. Period. Completely shut down. So you got to know they're deflated, and they're looking over it and watching Auburn take down Texas A&M, and they got to be like, oh God, here we go again. We got to go up against these guys playing inspired. We got to try to figure out a way to get inspired. And now we got to end the season with them when we don't really have anything to play for, and they're going to play like they got everything to play for. So I'm sure they're dreading. I think the spread was like 12.5 or something like that, which I think is, I think with all things considered, it's a little high. I was thinking 9.5, maybe 10 points. Because you're getting 3 for it being home, and then they're probably about a touchdown, maybe a touchdown better if I had to just guess. So I think I was thinking somewhere around like 10.5, but we'll see. We'll see. Guys, I appreciate it. I think that's going to be it for tonight. What a show. What a live. You guys are the best. And it was a lot of fun. We'll have to see what happens the rest of the week. We're going to have some fun stuff, fun videos, fun audio stuff that we'll break down from press conferences. See what Hugh has to say tomorrow. And then just overall have a great week. It's great. It's easy to have a great week after a win. You got Thanksgiving coming up. You got Iron Bowl, a lot of good stuff. So guys, if you liked this video, like it. If you like this channel, subscribe to it. And you know, we're going to be back every single day. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. Stay buttoned.
Thanks for listening, and drive home safely.